Father God, we just thank you for this time right now, Lord. We thank you that your word is alive and true, and that we can count on you in all things, Lord. I just ask that your message would be spoken loud and clearly, that it would speak to each person here in the way they need to hear you today. Holy Spirit, have your way, and let all the glory be to you alone, for you are the only worthy one. In Jesus' name. So I thought today we could take a trip down memory lane together. Think about when you were little. Do you remember all the plans and the hopes and the dreams that you had? Well, when I was little, part of my plan was to grow up, get married, and have 4 kids. And I was going to do this by the time I was 25. I was very ambitious, to say the least. Well, I totally missed the mark, because actually, when I was pregnant with Ainsley, I was labeled a geriatric pregnancy. So you can just see how that burst my bubble. And I envisioned having this Ozzie and Harriet type of family. No, I'm really not geriatric, but I did watch Ozzie and Harriet growing up. You know, love just flowing in the home, all the siblings getting along, loving each other. I grew up an only child, so I had no clue. I had hoped that all the problems of the day were going to be solved around the kitchen table during dinner. Now, all of you who have children, especially multiple children, can get a really good laugh at this. Obviously, that's not how it turned out. If you were in my house this morning, you would see that that's not how it turned out. Well, the only part of my dream that actually came true, the way I planned it, was I got married. So congratulations, Dan. You came through on my plan. This definitely wasn't the way that I had envisioned my future when I was a child. But it's certainly now something I wouldn't change, because I understand the way that it had to happen in God's perfect timing. I embrace how my plans didn't turn out the way I planned, and that all of my expectations didn't come true. And you can probably say the same about your lives. Not everything came through exactly the way that you had planned. And today, we see John the Baptist struggling with this in our scriptures. You know, it was prophesied that while John was still in the womb, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit, be the front runner for Jesus, preparing the way for the Messiah. John lived a life that was so radical, even by our standards today. He chose to eat locusts and honey, and he denied himself even the simple earthly conveniences. He did this because he was committed. He was committed to call people to repentance. He was setting himself apart for God's purpose, a man on a mission at any cost. His message was so very bold that few of us would attempt to deliver it today. He was doing everything just right, just as it had been foretold, exactly how God planned. Even Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:11 that there was no one who was ever greater than John, born of a woman. So imagine getting that compliment from the Messiah. But yet in our scriptures today, we read that John is sitting in jail, basically waiting to be put to death. I doubt that this is what John had planned for his life. And I'm sure that we too can relate to all of our plans being completely derailed at some point of our lives. Think about situations that you're in now, or situations you've been in the past. Those times when you followed God, you did all the right things, you had the right attitude, your heart was in the right place, but then you ended up somewhere you never thought you would ever be. And in that pain, you cried out to God and questioned, "How could this happen to me? How could you allow this? Why?" So imagine how John felt. He expected Jesus to come in and bring God's judgment. And those who wouldn't repent, well, they would just receive the harsh judgment. They were warned. But here's Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the hope of the world, the King of Kings, a gentle, loving man, full of compassion. The Messiah eating with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the poorest of poor, the sick of the sick. Loving everyone that was deemed unlovable. This was probably not what John expected either. Most people in that time expected the Messiah to come in declaring war against Rome, setting Israel free, setting up the kingdom right there on earth. But instead, Jesus came full of love and mercy and compassion. He wanted the people to come to repentance and accept God on their own accord because of God's love, not by force. So this left John in a place with broken expectations and doubt setting in. Now we can all relate to broken expectations. So what do we do with those pieces? How do we get through that? How do we find the strength to keep going? It's in those times when we need to rely on the joy of the Lord. We need to pull our strength from this joy. It's the true joy that can push us through and help us avoid the path of disillusionment. And sometimes we have a really hard time with joy because our minds have a hard time understanding true joy. Our minds want to associate joy with happiness and those warm, wonderful feelings. It wants us to recognize that joy is a feeling. True joy is actually a gift, not a feeling. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Those very fruits that were deposited into us the moment that we accepted Jesus into our hearts. But like all the fruits of the Spirit, these are gifts that we have to work on to perfect. We have to choose to activate and use these gifts. When we were first saved, we didn't immediately have this new burst of patience. In fact, probably most of us would say we're still waiting for that burst of patience. We didn't immediately start loving our enemies. These are all things that we have to grow in and practice, and we have to do the same with joy. So we must really understand what true joy is, because it's not a feeling and it's not a fleeting emotion. True joy is lasting, and our circumstances do not control it. Joy fuels us to overcome and persevere through our circumstances. Rick Warren says that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. And there's the key, praise. One of the quickest ways to activate our joy in times that we feel like the weight is too much or our circumstances are too hard is to praise God. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be jumping out into song and dance. It could read a psalm, sing a song, pray, or just say the name Jesus over and over. And watch how quickly in those moments you get a burst of strength to carry you through. And sometimes it's moment by moment. But only you can activate your joy. It's in you because the Holy Spirit is in you. It's freely given to us, but we have to decide whether we're going to use it or not. Because joy is a choice. We don't have to be joyful. Just like we don't have to love others, we don't have to be kind to anyone. All the fruits of the Spirit are choices for us to use. So how do we tap into that joy when we need it? Well, first, we have to understand why we receive this gift of joy. Joy is given to us because of who we are in Jesus and what he has done for us. Through his earthly life and what he accomplished on the cross, and through his resurrection, he established our place in eternity. He substituted our temporary residence on earth for a permanent citizenship in heaven. So that everything here that we experience on earth, even the most painful things, will not last. But that also means that because Jesus willingly laid his life aside in heaven to come and live on earth, that he experienced all those same things we experience in life, even the very difficult and painful things. And he took them and he nailed them to the cross as he gave his life for each and every one of us. He conquered them all through his resurrection. And that is where our true joy is in his resurrection. That is why we can be joyful and draw strength in him. Because our joy is in our eternal life, not in our earthly life. Knowing that one day we will live in the presence of our Savior forever. Knowing that Jesus' love is so deep and so wide that he was willing to do anything, even lay down his own life, so that he could make a way for us to go home to God our Father in our permanent residence in heaven. That is where our true joy is. If we look to earth for joy, we rob ourselves of the victory that Jesus gave us. If we allow our expectations to dictate our joy, we render ourselves powerless. And this is what we were starting to see with John the Baptist, that his expectations of the Messiah were shattered. He began to doubt because things were just not looking the way he expected them to. And if you look back in just 8 chapters from our reading today in Matthew to chapter 3, John doesn't even want to baptize Jesus because he knew who Jesus was and he felt so unworthy. In verse 14, John tried to talk Jesus out of being baptized by him. John says, "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me?" John knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the one that he had been waiting for, the one he was preparing the way for. But while John is in jail trying to navigate through his broken expectations, he starts to doubt. He could have lifted his eyes to heaven and remembered what God had set him aside for, remembered whose way he was preparing, remember how the King of Kings stepped down from his throne to dwell among his people so that he could secure all of our places in heaven so that our joy would be made complete. In these times, we need to look up to heaven and remember who we are in Christ, and remember what our hope and promise is. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "If you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not what is on earth. For you have died to this life, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God." We are all children of God, the Most High God, the true God, the King of Kings. And we need to grab hold of what Stephen saw in his last moments when he lifted his eyes to heaven and God opened the heavens for him to see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen could remember the assurance that he had and that he could remember where he was going. He could hold on to that joy in the very darkest times of his life. And he could rely on that strength of his joy to endure until he would be in the presence of his Savior. We are all on our way to heaven. I hope we're all on our way to heaven. But we're going to get refined in the process, in our trials and our tribulations, in order to make us all look more like Jesus. And like Lisa talked about, the pain and the irritation of the pearl, what it goes through and endures to be beautiful, we too have to endure pain. Because sometimes we need those rough edges taken off. We need some sanding. We need those boogers to get released. We need some polishing. Because the world needs to see Jesus. And guess what? You and I are it. We are charged with spreading Jesus and the gospel in this world. The lost doesn't want us to just preach about Jesus and talk about Jesus all the time. They want to see what he looks like. They want to know that Jesus can save and transform lives. They are desperate to see Jesus. They are desperate for that joy, that assurance. And our lives should reflect that Jesus has the power to do all those things, but that he desires to do all those things for every single person. Our lives should be a walking, living testimony of the power of what God can do, the power of how God can bring us through the most painful things and make beauty out of ashes, the power of knowing that our Savior does not leave us in those situations, that our God walks with us through them, that He never leaves us or forsakes us, but He is right there in the very center of every situation, good or bad, right there in the center with us all. That's what our lives should reflect. That's what the world needs to see, is how Jesus can do that for all of them, because they desperately need what we have. As we celebrate Jesus' birth next week, it reminds us of the joy that the world experienced when He was born. The people had been hoping and waiting for so long, and the earth was now filled with joy that the Messiah was finally here. They were rejoicing in what God was doing, a Father willingly giving up His Son for you and me, a King that willingly stepped down from His throne for you and me. And Nick and Glenn are going to sing a song today for us about that. But before they do, I want to encourage you with something that the Lord has been speaking to me this year. This has been a difficult year for me. I've faced many trials, some we're still facing. I've experienced some of the deepest sorrow and toughest challenges in my life. And it's funny, you know, that now we're in December and I've been going through this for the year and I'm preaching today on joy. In fact, when I was told this was the day I was going to preach, I didn't even know it was joy. And Pastor said, oh, well, it's joy. We need to talk about joy. And I thought in my situation, God, how am I going to talk about joy? This has been one crazy year. A lot of things have happened that many people would say, what's joyful? And then the Lord started to talk to me and show me some things. Even in those times where the challenges were the worst, the pain was the heaviest, I chose to press into joy to find my strength. And this is what God wants me to show you about pressing into joy. Earlier I said that the quickest way to activate our joy is to praise God. And I said it doesn't have to be elaborate, because during some times, praising God is difficult. Sometimes it's the most painful thing we can do is go before God and try to praise in the midst of pain and sorrow. And sometimes it just doesn't look pretty. But when we choose to lay at our Savior's feet, and we try to make a sound of praise, and the tears just fall, that's praise. God sees that as beautiful praise, because it's in those moments where we're offering up all we have to God, even though it may be tears or disappointment or sorrow. It's praise. We're telling God, this is all I have, but I'm giving it to You because I believe You are God. I believe You can heal me. I believe You can restore this situation. I believe that somehow You will work this all out. I believe that You are bigger than all of this. But most importantly, I believe that no matter what happens, You still are God. And when we lift our eyes up, we look to the Son. And like the song sang today, we can see the hope of heaven, love reaching out for us. We can remember how we've been lifted from death to life. And we can praise God because He is good. In every situation, we can proclaim He is good. And in just like the worship team sang in our first song today, we sing, we dance, we shout because God is good. even in the midst of the most painful times, God is still good, and that will never change. We can rely on that with everything that we have in us, that He is good and it will never change. His promise will last forever. We can press into that promise, that joy, that hope, because God is good. God didn't hold anything back from us. He gave His Son for you and me, and our joy is complete because of what Jesus willingly did for us. And you have the power to activate and use your joy. Only you do. So don't let Satan come in and try to steal your joy. Don't let the world rob you of this gift. Don't let your circumstances control your joy. Press into it with everything you have. Protect it, guard it, and use it. It is for you. It is for your good. Remember why you have it. Remember why your joy is complete. Remember that Jesus willingly stepped down from His throne to bring the Father's love to this world and to make a way for us to return to our Father and be with Him for all of eternity. There is no greater love in all the world than Jesus willingly laying down His life for us. There is no greater hope of assurance for us. Our joy is complete. So look up. Look up, beloved, because that is where our joy is. Amen.